All right, good morning to you. Nice to see you here today, this first Sunday of a brand new year, brand new decade. It's good to have you here today at First Church. Hey, when my kids were small, and I don't know if your kids are like that. How many of you have kids? Raise your hands. Wow, man, you're a fruitful bunch. That's awesome. How many of you struggled to get your kids to eat? Yeah, isn't that amazing? How I remember when my kids were little, it's like, eat, come on, please eat. Just take one bite, just take two bites. You have to make a kid eat, then when they get to be our age, they have to make a stop eating. Right? Have you ever noticed that? I remember when Kristen was little, we used to literally have this happen almost every night at dinner. We always had a plant, you know, we sat down and ate dinner together, and she would never touch her food, and finally we would all just get, you know, exasperated, and we'd say, listen, we're leaving, we're going to the living room, and Arlene would set a timer, you know, and she had so many minutes to eat all of her food or she was going to get in trouble, and, you know, I'd be in the living room, I'd peek, and she's not doing anything, she's not eating, she's just ignoring it, and then finally, you know, that timer counts down to zero and goes ding, and Kristen would go, because she knew somebody was coming to the living room, and she was going to get into trouble. And she was like, why don't you just do that at the beginning, right? There's something about parents and children. For example, I remember my mother, I never really listened to her telling me what to do until it was like the third or fourth time. You know what I'm saying? You know, Johnny, take out the trash. Well, you know, I knew she wasn't, you know. I had to wait till she had to get to a certain volume and a certain number of times. And when she said, listen, this is the last time. Okay, all right, you're serious about it, and I'll go and do it. You know, when parents would say things over and over and over again, they meant it, didn't they? And we do that too. When we say something over and over and over again, it's something that's usually pretty important. Well, let me give you a truth here about the path from Proverbs that's really telling. 29 times in this little book, the word path is used. 29 times the book of Proverbs mentions the path. Here, let me give you just a couple examples. Proverbs 1, verse 15, Solomon's warning us about buddying up with people who have questionable morals. He says there, quote, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their path. Or how about this one, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9, talking about following the way of wisdom. He says, quote, then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. There's paths that he wants us to take. Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about Proverbs 3, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Proverbs 4, 26, make level paths for your feet and take away only and take only ways that are firm. You see, folks, we've been talking about this principle of the path and how our direction determines our destination. And this morning, I want to take just a little bit of a side, give a little bit of a qualifier to that principle of the path, how direction determines destination. And what I want to say is that what gets your attention determines your destination. Not just your direction, but what gets your attention as you go that way along the path is really so very, very important. For example, what we're talking about here is the principle of focus. You know, we have such a hard time today with that, don't we? Focus. We have so many things that are competing for our attention, for our time, you know, for our eyes, for our ears, for our feet. We have such a difficult time staying focused on the things that are really, really important. You know, for example, don't you feel like God is just sometimes looking down at you and said, hey, you. You know, give me your eyes. Stay focused on me. Your attention determines your direction. You know, let me give you an example of this, and I think it is such a good example today, and that is, have you ever noticed how almost every state in the union has passed laws about cell phone use in the car? You know, how many people obey those laws? Pretty much nobody. right? I was driving over Catfish a couple years ago, actually, and there was a young lady in front of me in the car, and I couldn't see that she was on her cell phone, but all of a sudden she swerved over in the middle lane. And if you know anything about the Catfish going over toward Roaring Spring and all that, there was a New Enterprise concrete truck coming the other way. And she did not see him. And I literally blew my horn and screamed, "Watch out!" Finally, she looked up and she corrected and jerked it back over. Then a couple miles down the road, she swerved off and went off the road on the right-hand side, almost hitting a telephone pole. She corrects it back up on the highway. We get down to the light. I pull up beside her. I look over and it's this young woman. She's got her cell phone out doing this. And I said, "Hey," and I asked her to roll her window down. She rolled her window down kind of, you know, just enough. I think she was wondering, you know, what I was going to do. She rolled her window down and said, "Hey, you're going to kill somebody. You're going to kill yourself." Right? Did you know I read recently that one of the first things an officer does when he's investigating an accident now is he says, "Let me see your cell phone." He wants to know whether or not you were on your cell phone texting when you had this accident. It's one of the first things they look at today. Listen, folks. This is such a beautiful principle about attention, about focus, and it comes from Solomon over 3,000 years ago, but it is so applicable to your life and my life today. Let me show it to you. It's in Proverbs chapter 4 in verse 25 through 27. Matter of fact, here, let's read this together. Would you join me? "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." I mean, that sounds like that it was written for cell phone use in the car today. Because we know that if something captures our attention, our destination is determined by our direction, but our direction is dictated by whatever holds our attention. And the things that capture your attention will influence your direction in life. You know, there's all kinds of examples of this, both positively and negatively. You may get to a point in your life and something very positive gets your attention and directs your paths exactly where you know that you need to be and where God wants you. But the negative is true as well. We're going along in life. We're following the path that God has for us. All of a sudden, something negative gets our attention, and oftentimes we veer off course and find ourselves in a place that we do not want to be. Andy Stanley says it this way in the book. He says, "All of us have people or events or opportunities in our past that reflect the much more frequent flip side. Looking back, there are people you wish you had never met, relationships you wish you had never initiated, numbers you wish you had never called, voicemails you wish you had never acknowledged, business opportunities you wish you had ignored. Life was better before these things grabbed your attention." He continues, "In many cases, the path you were on before they came along was the path that you should have adhered to, but you didn't. And what grabbed your attention altered your direction in life." Don't you think that's why Solomon says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, make level the paths for your feet, take only ways that are firm, do not swerve to the right or to the left, keep your foot from evil." You see, folks, there's two verbs here. There's this idea of capturing your attention, or this idea of grabbing your attention. Now think about that. You can choose, we're going to talk about this in just a moment, what gets our attention. A lot of times, something captures our attention. In other words, something motivates us because of a desire within us, and our heart and our mind and our spirit is captured. Other things grab our attention. In other words, we see something that we desire, something that we want. And both of these can be very positive, or they can be very, very negative. The book of Psalms talks about not walking in the counsel of the wicked, or sit in the seat of scoffers. In other words, we choose what captures, what grabs our attention. It's a principle of choice. And we can choose to give, or we can choose to pay attention to the things that we should. Think about that. Emotions tend to fuel the things that grab or capture our attention, and being intentional tends to fuel what we pay attention to or give our attention to. On every path, there is a way that leads to life, and there's a way that leads to death. And it's our choice. Now here's the thing, folks. How are you choosing? I mean, I think it's great that you're here this morning. That's a good sign for you that you're looking to choose a path that is good and honorable and right in God's eyes. But what about tomorrow? What about later in the week? What about when we go to work and we're in our neighborhoods? You know, this is such a good sign that we want to choose well. But it's something that is before us each and every day. Choose which direction you will go and fix your gaze directly on it. Now think about this for a minute, folks. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a career. You know, I was talking to a young couple over in the cafe this morning, and they're looking at houses. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's a pastime, something that you enjoy. Maybe it's a person that's leading you somewhere that you don't really want to go. Or maybe it's a person that wants to lead you in a good way of life. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's an achievement you're hoping to accomplish soon. What has your attention these days? What grabs your attention? What captures your attention? What do you want to have your attention? You know, a lot of times we don't ask ourselves those questions. Sometimes I think it's because we're afraid of the answer. You know, Apostle Paul, he had a lot to say about this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. What a beautiful passage of Scripture this is. He says, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what's ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenly in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says, listen, God, you have my attention. You are grabbing my attention. I give you my attention. I choose the path of following you. And you know, one of the big things that a lot of times keeps us in the path that God wants for us? It's our past. It's our past, where we've been, what we've done. He says that here very, very plainly. I forget what is behind and I strain toward what is ahead. He says in that very next passage in verse 15, he says, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Hebrews says it this way, chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Sometimes we drift away. Some of you are here today because you've drifted and you're trying to find your way back. Well, listen, folks, what has our attention? My favorite passage about this is from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. You know this passage. Listen to this. He says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't let your gaze sway from him. You know, if you read the Bible very closely, you'll notice how this happens over and over and over again. David, it says, when it was the time of year when kings went off to war, it said David stayed in Jerusalem. And that's when his eyes saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop. And all of a sudden he was not looking where he needed to look, and his mind and his heart was captured by that sinful moment that led him down a road that he never wanted to go. You know, I think about I think about Jonah and how God said, you know, he wanted him to go to Nineveh and he wanted to preach repentance and how people can follow God. And it says that he went on his own way. And that was when that great fish swallowed him up and just burped him onto the shores of Nineveh. Boy, that'll get you back on track, wouldn't it? You know, just, bleh, there he is. And standing there with seaweed all covered over him, and he's like, repent, you know. And so many times in life, the Bible is full of stories like that. I think of Peter, who denied Jesus, even though he said that he would never deny Jesus, that he would die for him. And the very next thing that he does. But listen, God always allows us to fix our gaze back on him and to come back into his grace and mercy. Remember a few weeks ago, we mentioned Proverbs 22, verse 3, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Have you ever done that? I mean, have you ever just kept going down a road that you know you shouldn't be on and ended up paying the penalty? We all have stories like that. But the first part, he said, the prudent see danger and take refuge. In other words, as we look down the road, we see what's coming. And we choose a different way. We choose a better way. We choose to stay focused on him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Here's the way Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. The way, that's another word that could be translated the path. I am the path. I'm the way that leads to life. I'm the way that leads to eternity. He's the path. I am the path. Follow me. And because whatever we give our attention to will determine the direction, and whatever direction we head in will determine where we end up. I don't know about you guys. Do you remember, all you guys that are in here, you remember when you had your children? Did you go through those birthing classes? You know, I remember those birthing classes so well because I remember the teacher telling me, listen, Dad, she said, your job is to do nothing more than to keep her focused, not on the pain that she's going through, but on the outcome, on the great blessing that's going to come from this. And I remember distinctly, you know, right in the height of that moment of labor, I'm down there with Arlene. I said, honey, listen, don't focus on the pain. You know, focus on the sleepless nights that this kid's going to bring to us. You know, focus on the countless dirty diapers that we're going to have to change. You know, focus on the 18 years of pure hell that they're going to put us through. Yeah. No, I didn't do that. You know, I tried to be as encouraging as I could in that moment. You know, because what we fix on, think about that. It's going to be where we. I got a great story about that. If you let me tell it real quick. When Kristen was born, Arlene was in labor, but she wasn't in a heavy labor, and it was just starting. And we were at the hospital waiting. You know, and it was going to be hours before Kristen was born. And there was a lady. Donna Barnhill was her name, and her husband Jeff, who she worked at this hospital, and they'd been coming to our church, kind of new to the church. And I said to Arlene, I said, honey, if you don't mind, I'm gonna call this lady, and I'll see if she can get together and talk for a few minutes here, and I can answer any questions about the church, and you know, see if they know the Lord and all this kind of stuff. And Arlene's like, oh yeah, go ahead, honey. You know, it's gonna be a long time before this baby comes. And I said, okay. So I called this lady. She met me in the cafeteria for a sandwich, and I was gone for about 30 minutes, and I remember walking back in the room, said to Arlene, I said, man, that was awesome. That was a great visit with her. And Arlene looked at me. Now, she will tell you that this did not happen, but as God is my witness, this is the honest truth, okay? She looks at me and she said, I'm up here having your baby, and you're down there eating lunch with some other woman. I said, I'm sorry, you know, you said that it was okay. And it's like, oh my goodness. While I was gone, I'm not sure what got her attention, but it was something else, all right? What has your attention? And not only what has your attention, how hard are you working at keeping your family's attention on God? your wife or your husband or your children. Listen, folks, this is so very important that we do this. Here, let me suggest a couple of prayers to you. If you're here today and you are a seeker of God, maybe you've drifted away and you're here today simply because God is calling you back unto Him. Maybe this would be your prayer. Jesus, I believe that You're the way, You're the path, the truth and the life, and I'm choosing today to follow You. I admit that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I invite You to be that Savior for me. Or maybe if you're here today and you're a believer, been a believer for a long time, but maybe you've drifted away. Maybe this would be your prayer. Jesus, I know that You're the path, the truth, the life, but I haven't been walking that path recently. And today, I am choosing to refocus on You. I choose today, Lord, to fix my eyes on You and to follow You all the days of my life. And God, I'm serious about it. Maybe that would be your prayer today. But whatever it is, folks, listen. Yes, our direction determines our destination. But what really is important in that is what our attention is on in the direction that we're going. Proverbs it's such a hearty message here that he gives us. That we look straight ahead, that we fix our gaze directly on Him, that we make then choose level paths that lead us to places that are good, and that we do not swerve from right or to left, but we keep our foot from evil. May that be our goal, your goal, my goal, as we seek Him today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that today, that Lord, You would speak to us. Speak to us, Lord, from this word. Speak to us, Lord, from this message of 3,000 years ago that Solomon gave that is so applicable to our lives today. That, Lord, we need to have our attention on You. Because, Father, when our attention gets off of You, we swerve off into dangerous areas. So, Lord, I pray that today that we would do as the writer of Hebrews says, Lord, that we would focus and fix our eyes on You. Knowing, Lord, that You and Your path leads to eternal life. And God, I pray for anyone that's here today that maybe has swerved off the path, have wandered, Lord, away from Your path. Maybe, Lord, someone that has never chosen the path that You have for them. God, be with us right now as we sing this song. And may we make the commitments that we need to make to You. That our path, Lord, would not only be straight, but that, Lord, it would lead straight to eternity with You. May it be so, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen. 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 Let's stand together, please. What a marvelous song to sing. And as we sing it, let's make our decisions for Him.